I shared last week that really, for me this year, a focus of my year is on Jesus Christ and trying to go deeper in Jesus, trying to know his heart more. And I know you hear that and you might think, well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. But I don't mean like business as usual. I mean really taking a focus in my life and trying to know Jesus more through prayer and through fasting and through the Word of God and through community and through, as I talked about, Lent is coming up, and really taking that seriously and seeking Jesus as we prepare for Easter. So that's something I'm personally doing this year. And I would encourage you to really pray about what this year is supposed to be for you. For the past, this is my fourth year, I name every year prophetically. I guess I should put it this way. I ask the Lord to name my year, and then I try to listen to him, and I just give it a name. And it's a really important thing. And I believe that for you guys here, God wants to do that for you. It's not just for a pastor. He wants to direct your life. And we'll just pray, you know, this week, next week, and say, Lord, what would you want to do in my life this year? What is the focus going to be? And for me, it's Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to preach about Jesus. How's that sound? I'm going to actually look at a passage, Matthew 11:28. I've never spoken on this, and there's a danger when I share a message on a verse like this, because it is so common that I am fairly confident that all of you have heard this verse many, many, many times. And there's a danger when it comes to this, because when we become too familiar with something, we just block it out. I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes I'm going through Matthew right now. I've read the Gospel of Matthew many times. And what I noticed going through Matthew is I'm going through the Gospel, and I'll find myself just kind of skipping. Like, oh, I've been there, done that. Oh, Jesus is raising the dead. Oh, okay. Really? Okay. Maybe I need to pause. Jesus is raising the dead. You know what I mean? Maybe I shouldn't rush through that. But is anybody with me? Do you do that? So this is what I've been doing in January. And I said, this is not right, God. I can't rush through you praying for the sick or a teaching. And so we're going to look at a passage today that is very, very familiar. And so I want to encourage you not to just block it out. Oh, heard this before. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to say something really powerful to us today through Matthew 11:28. So let me just pray. I know we've been praying a lot, and that's good, right? Because we're at church. We're supposed to pray. And I want to pray that the Lord would speak to us this morning. Jesus, help us to not be too familiar with a passage that is remarkable, that is earth-shattering, a verse that is bigger than the universe, that even the whole universe cannot contain what this verse teaches. And so I pray that we'll not block it out and we'll not skip past it and just think about lunch. But Lord, we'll think about what you want to say. And I pray that you'll speak to every person here, wherever they are in their relationship with Christ, or maybe they're not even yet a Christian. I pray that you would speak to them as well. So we give you this time, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the first thing that we see here is Jesus says, come. But I want to tell you that Jesus is not the only one calling out to you, come. There are many voices right now here at the University of Michigan, in Ann Arbor, in our nation, in this world, that are crying out to you, come. Do you hear those voices calling to you? Come and follow me. Come and find satisfaction. Come and find happiness. And I want to share a few of these voices that I think are the most prevalent, that are calling out to you and to my kids and all over this city. The first voice that's calling come is the party voice. I don't know what else to call it. It is basically, this is the voice of alcohol and drunkenness and drugs and sexual pleasure. Basically, this voice calls to you to live for today above everything else. It has a philosophical creed, believe it or not. Here's the philosophical creed of the party voice that's calling out to you. Let us eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Also known as YOLO. I think YOLO is the stupidest thing ever. And it's a lie. It's not true. We don't just live once. And But this is the philosophical creed of the party voice. Live for today. You only live once, man. Live it up. This voice is one of the loudest voices at the University of Michigan. I'll never forget when my children were much younger and they really encountered this voice very loudly. As a matter of fact, we were in this room. We were doing a new student welcome party for freshmen and grad students and internationals. And man, they were having a great time. I brought my kids and they felt, you know, awesome because, you know, here they're staying up till midnight, 1 a.m. And this is probably 4 or 5 years ago. And we got done with a great party and we were going to go out to my car. So we walked out the front door here of the Union on State Street, and I took a right. And as we were going, and you could hear the voice calling, come, as the music was just thumping, man. The bass was pounding. And I went down to the sand volleyball pit, frat. Which one is that? Jason would know. But so it was right here. And it was about 1 a.m., and it was packed, man. And it was, they had kegs out. They had kegs on the roof. They had kegs on the balcony. They were playing, and they were playing music. And I remember, I looked over, and I remember watching my kids. They were little, you know, not little, but maybe 10 years old, you know, maybe like 6, 11, and 13 or something. And right on the picnic table, there was this young woman, and probably 19, and she was dancing with a man. It wasn't dancing for Jesus, we'll just put it that way. You probably don't know what kind of dancing they were doing, but it wasn't nice. And it was sad. I mean, right out in the open. I mean, like they were having sex right in the open with clothes on the picnic table. And did I just say that? Yeah, that's what they were doing. And I looked at them, and my kids looked at them, and the music was playing, people were partying, and the voice was calling to them, come, come and have fun. Come and party. Come live it up. And this voice calls very strongly on this campus to you. And I followed that siren voice for years. And some of you, most of you know my story. I will spare Chris the 100th time he's heard it. But I followed that voice and I lived it up, man. I was that guy. And it led to tremendous destruction in my life and terrible pain. But God set me free from that voice, but that voice is still calling for you. There's another voice that calls very boldly. It's not just Jesus, but it says, come. And this voice calls very boldly from lecture halls at the University of Michigan. It's calling to you from YouTube videos, from the books that you're reading, from the music that you're listening to the movies that you watch. And this is the voice called secularism. And it's calling you to cast off all restraint of religion, to come out of this myth, to lay down the shackles of mythology and join the enlightened, the intelligent, the scientific. The secular class is going to build a utopian society that's going to be rid of all religion and all of this terrible mythology that man followed in his age of ignorance and immaturity. Now, this voice calls most strongly from Western Europe. And this is true, but this voice is getting disciples all over the world, isn't it? Disciples all in every continent, they're hearing the calling of secularism. And this godless philosophy with their godless philosophers have been filling the world with this doctrine for hundreds of years. It's nothing new, but it's been around. And the explicit goal is to get rid of all religion. That's the goal. And they want to strip society of it. And I just want to tell you that that's a lie, but it's calling strongly to you, and it's calling very boldly. There's another voice that's calling, come. This voice is really different from the second one. This is the voice of false religion, and it's calling very boldly. Islam is boldly and loudly calling, come to us, come to me. When you go in the Middle East, from Mecca to in even Israel and even in Baghdad, you will hear the call to prayer. I remember when I was doing a missions trip in China, and we were in Xining in a very remote northwestern China, and there was a huge mosque, and it was the first time I'd ever heard the call to prayer. And it was a Friday afternoon, so it was the prayer, and the call just was blaring out on the on those speakers. And most of you probably never heard that, have you? Or has anybody heard that? Some of you? Not many. And it was a call, come, come. And anybody that's heard this will not for a moment say that there's nothing spiritual about that. It was very spiritual. I could tell. I mean, I could feel that in the air as it was just blaring throughout the whole city in northwestern China. Now, if you've never heard that, as a matter of fact, you could just hear it right 30 minutes away. You could just go right to Dearborn, and I could take you with me to the Yemenis, or I'm not sure how they would pronounce that, but there's immigrants from Yemen, and they've settled in Dearborn, and it's the largest mosque in the United States. 30 minutes, 40 minutes down the street, and they blare that out every day. You can hear it. So that voice is calling, come, come to us, come to me. There's another voice of false religion that is calling out very strongly, but it's really different. It's very soft and subtle and almost covert in the way it calls to you, come. This voice is no less dangerous than the voice of Islam, but it still is calling, come. And that voice is the voice of the New Age. And here's what they're saying. It's saying, come and look within yourself, and you will discover that you are God. You will realize that this whole notion of an external, patriarchal, creator God is the product of ancient and ignorant and bigoted men, violent people. So just come to us and look within yourself, and you will discover that you are God. And that tree that you love, that tree is God. And that little poodle that you call your daughter that you put in a stroller on Main Street, she is God as well. And we're all God. And if you would just come to us, you will realize that you need to be enlightened to this truth, that there is no God. You are God. Well, New Age calls very strongly. And each of these voices, and of course there's many more, right? I can't go down the list, but all of them promise you ultimate happiness, ultimate satisfaction, if you will just come. The problem is none of them lead to ultimate satisfaction, and none of them lead to ultimate and eternal happiness. Jesus in Matthew 11:28 calls us to come. He says, come. But it's interesting. He's not calling you to an experience. He's not calling you to follow a philosophy. He's calling you to come to a person. That's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, come to me. I have been reading through, I've tried it a couple times. There's a book called Confessions by a man named Augustine. He lived 4th-5th century in Europe, arguably probably one of the number one theologians of the Western Church, most influential. And Confessions is a great book. If you haven't read it, you really need to. Now, I talked last week about Tolkien, and you guys might remember I made the somewhat sarcastic statement that if you haven't read Tolkien, I feel sorry for you, I pity you. Anybody remember that? And he's only one of the greatest writers of all time. I stand by that. But I would say that if you only got time for one, choose Augustine's Confessions over Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. Now, it's good. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I like it a lot. Hobbit was good, wasn't it? Hobbit's good. But I would choose to read some of Augustine's writings. And Augustine has a quote that I love. Many of you have heard me share this before, but he said this. Plato and Cicero said many wise things, but I never heard them say, come unto me. And so Jesus is calling us to come to him today, just like he was 2,000 years ago. And who's he calling out to? Is Jesus calling out to everybody? Well, in this passage, in this particular time, he called out to a very specific group of people. Who did he call out to? He called out to the broken and the heavy laden. Those that are burdened, those that are weary and heavy laden. You know, I've found a commonality in many conversions to Jesus Christ. This is really interesting. Most people are converted to Jesus Christ when they're children or when they're going through a time of burden, crisis, being heavy laden, sick with cancer, lost their wife, failed a calculus. I know that would never happen here. They have a crisis, and they're feeling heavy laden, and they come to Jesus. Now remember, the secularists will say, see, that's it, man. Religion's a crutch. I knew it all along. It's for the little ignorant children. It's for those that are weak and heavy laden. It's just an excuse. And they say that boldly, as they're so smart and so much smarter than the little girls that dance among the flowers and still actually understand art and the power of it. They're so much smarter than these kids. But kids will believe in Jesus. They will trust the Lord. And so will those that are broken and are heavy laden. Jesus said in Luke 18:16, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let these little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Wow. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You know, Islam has a picture of paradise. Buddhism teaches that you will just eventually dissolve into nothingness with the great nothingness. Mormonism has a concept of everlasting life. But I go with Jesus. And if heaven is anything like what he just taught, I want to be there. If it's anything like a bunch of kids like Seth Payne and these little kids, that's where I want to be. I want to be in a kingdom that is comprised of little kids that love, that dance, that use art, that are creative, that believe, that trust. I don't want to be with a bunch of sterile secularists that think they know it all. You can have that world. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is for the little children. And he said you need to become like a little child if you're going to be in heaven. He also said this, it's not for the well that need a physician. It's not those that are well, but it's those that are sick. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but who did he come to call? The sinners. Why is this? Why is it that Jesus is saying, come to me to all you that are weary and heavy laden? It's not because he can then be your crutch. It's because sometimes it takes that to break a man or woman from their pride and arrogance. Usually it takes a crisis to shock somebody, to like grab them by the shirt and shake them enough to wake them up from their illusion of self-sufficiency and arrogance and pride. This has happened to cultures. It happens to individuals. And Jesus calls out to the broken and to the weary to trust him. I'll never forget. That's what it took for me. I began to hear about Jesus as a little kid. Seeds were planted in my life. You know, they began to grow a little bit. But there was a lot of pride. there's a lot of arrogance in me. I was 16, 17, talked with a man that told me about Jesus. You guys know my story. Some good things do come out of McDonald's. Because John the Evangelist is what I'll call him. He told me about Jesus, told me to read the gospel. And I listened, man, and I was interested in what he said, but I wasn't ready. And really, what it was I was too filled with Nino still. And so God had to allow me to do some stupid things to finally break me. Well, it took a lot. For me, it took a lot. Now, you guys aren't all as hard-headed as me, hopefully. For me, it took going out, being drunk, taking drugs, I don't even remember, almost killing a man, could have went to prison. I was being charged with a 10-year felony. And I'll never forget when I woke up the next morning. And now when this happens to a person, they don't always break, right? Some people never break until they die and it's too late. But for me, I remember laying in bed and got a phone call from a police officer, and I answered the phone call, and he asked me if I was Antonino Grisco. I said yes, and he said, you need to come on down. Do you want me to come get you, or do you want to come down? Yes, sir, I'll come down, you know. And that broke me. I remember after that phone call thinking, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. This is not right. Something is wrong. See, the party voice that had called out to me it deceived me. It promised me something, but it didn't pay. You know what I mean? That party voice is a great deceiver. And it promised me something, but it gave me something that I didn't want. It could have been someone who could have died, or I could have went to prison. And so the Lord, he broke me, and I broke. And then I read the New Testament with new eyes. The only other time I'd ever read the Bible, I was in a hotel room partying, and there was Bibles in there. You ever notice that sometimes there's Bibles? And I opened it up to Genesis, and I started reading Genesis 1, 2, 3. I got real scared. I just shut it. I didn't want anything else. Oh, that's enough. Back to the party voice. Come to me. You know. But see, God didn't want me to have to go through that. God didn't want me to do that, but I wasn't broken. He had to break me. He had to shatter me so that I could then die and be raised up a new man. And Christ calls to the weary and the heavy laden. But, you know, it's not just to those that don't know Christ that Jesus calls out to. Jesus is calling today to all of you here that are Christian, but you're feeling heavy laden. You're feeling weary, and you don't know what to do. And he's calling out to you. You know, I was thinking, so this is a light backpack, but just for a minute, just pretend with me. Oh, the recording. This is a light backpack, but pretend with me that this is real heavy, right? You know how a lot of Christians are? They walk around with a backpack on like this, and they're just slumped over, man. I see them on campus. You guys, it's like, when are they going to just put everything on the iPad? I mean, it's like, charge $200 for a piece of paper. I mean, like, hello. I mean, but anyway, they're walking around like this. And this is how it is, man. They're just so heavy. They put it on. A lot of Christians are like this, man. You just burden. It's pulling you back. And what are you burdened with? You're burdened with this drive for academic success. You get out of here. You're burdened, you're weary with this drive for success in your career, and it's just weighing you down. It's weighing you down because you're trying to prove that you are worthy. You're trying to prove that you're better than this person. You're trying to prove to your mom and dad that you can do something, and you get weighed down with stress, and it pulls you back. There's many Christians that are weighed down with emotional distress. This is becoming an epidemic. We need to pray. There are Christians, and I went through this my sophomore year of college, where I went through a time of depression where I didn't even want to get out of bed. I didn't even want to get up in the morning. I didn't even want to go to school. I couldn't even do anything. I felt miserable for no reason. There's Christians all over campus, all over the world, and they're weighed down like this with depression and pain. There's Christians that are weighed down with legalism. And here's what I mean by that. You still don't even feel secure that you're a Christian. And so you got to prove it, you know? If I can just do enough righteous deeds, if I can do this, and your Christianity is not coming unto Jesus, it's basically turning your back on Jesus and going trying to prove yourself to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28 was not, turn around, get to work, and prove to me that you're worthy, and then I'll see you in heaven. Right? That's how a lot of Christians see Christianity. And so they're just like, this is just burden with their heavy load. Well, Jesus said something striking, and this statement is larger than the universe, if you will understand it. He said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. And it's not just physical rest, though we all could use some of that, couldn't we, sometimes? He'll give you emotional rest. He'll give you spiritual rest. He'll give you rest. I want to actually have a time of prayer. So in just a second, we're going to pray. I'm going to have the band in just a couple minutes come on up here. I've got some more things to say. But I just want to encourage everybody here. I don't know where everybody's at. But if you're facing a time where you need some rest and you're feeling really loaded down, you know, heavy laden, we want to pray with you. I believe Jesus brought you here for this reason. He wants to touch you and give you rest. And And I know that this room isn't the most conducive for like some kind of an altar call, but we're going to try it. So let's, yeah, Chris, if you want to lead us, come on up. What we're going to do in just a minute is we're going to stand together, and then I'm going to pray for you. But I want to encourage you also, I'm finishing early, so we've got no rush. You guys, we don't need to get out of here. So we want to pray. We believe in prayer in H2O. Okay, we believe God changes things when we pray. And so if you need prayer and you want to respond to this message, I want to encourage you to just come out of your seat and just stand. We got lots of room here to my left. You can sit down in the front, and I will pray with you. You can pray on your own. Let's just really come to Jesus, all right? Let's come unto him, all those that are weary and heavy laden. He will give you rest today. As they're preparing here, one more quote. This is also by Augustine, and it's, even, I like it even more than the last one. I like the last one, but this one is even better. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Our heart is restless until it rests in you. So we can try to find the answer to our burden and our weariness and the party voice, the secularism, the new age, the false religion, Islam, but you're never going to rest until you rest in Christ. And when you rest in Christ, it's a beautiful resting.